following program is brought to you in living color on
DailyGazette.com or wherever you get your podcast.
The Gazette News Group presents the Parting Shots Podcast. Now, here's your host, Ken Schott.
Thank you, Scott Giese, and welcome to the Parting Shots Podcast, available wherever you get your podcast. Subscribe today. Thanks for joining me from the Parting Shots Podcast studio in Schenectady, New York, for the 501st podcast episode. Okay, we're going to stop the countdown now. We got to 500. So we're starting our next stretch of 500 podcasts. And it's our weekly podcast with Union Med's head hockey coach, Josh Halgy. Josh, welcome back. How are things going?
They're going well. Yourself?
Not too bad. Can't complain. Just getting ready for the snowstorm on Sunday, so I'll have all the fun with that. So Union played a pro-style schedule with 3 games in 4 days. They got off to a good start on Friday with a 4-0 win over Brown, but it slipped away after that. Yale defeated Union 4-1 on Saturday. The Garner Chargers then traveled to Boston to take on Harvard, and the result was a 4-0 Crimson victory. What are your general thoughts on the 3 games in 4 day weekend?
Yeah, it wasn't our best hockey of the year. A little disappointing. And, you know, obviously when you got a stretch where you got 3 and 4, I was, hoping to put some games back to back, but just didn't have it.
Well, let's begin with the Brown game. The Bears came into M&T Bank Center having snapped an 8-game losing streak when they beat St. Lawrence on January 10th. In Friday's first period, Union had some scoring chances, but the period ended scoreless. Union outshot Brown 14-8 in the period. How did you think the team played in the opening 20 minutes?
No, I thought it was all right. I still think, even though we controlled a lot of it, like, just wasn't as crisp as we've been, and had some opportunities to finish, and we didn't.
It did not take long for Union to break the scoreless tie in the second period. Like we saw in the victory over Princeton on January 10th, a faceoff win led to a goal. Drew Sutton won a draw in the Brown right circle and drew it back to Luke Buss. Buss took a shot that was stopped by Brown goalie Tyler Shea. The rebound bounced to Troy Pelton in the slot, and the freshman forward from Clifton Park put it into the net for his first collegiate goal. First, let's talk about the faceoff win.
Yeah, anytime, you have a face-off, there's a lot of things that go into it. A lot of times it's the wingers that can help you out and win it. That one was just a clean win by Drew.
And then, Troy, how happy were you for him getting his first goal? I know he scored a goal in the exhibition game against Colgate, which didn't count, but to get the one, especially get it at home.
Yeah, really happy. For him, he's been playing at a high level for us, and somebody that's probably coming in, we didn't know what he was going to do for us coming from the North American League, but really kind of established himself in our lineup. He's a big physical presence, and he has a good skill set, but a lot of times, when guys don't get their first one for a little bit, they start gripping the stick a little tight, and big relief for him.
Yeah, he seems to have, as you mentioned, he's become a regular in the lineup.
Yeah, he's done a really nice job. He's different than maybe some of the guys that we have. He skates really well. He's got a powerful stride. He can finish hits. He's hard on pucks, and he's very responsible.
Well, shortly after the goal, Union gets into some penalty trouble. Colby MacArthur is called for hooking at 3:55, followed by an elbowing minor to Nick Young at 5:05. So the Bears get a two-man advantage for 50 seconds. Union kills the MacArthur penalty, but it looks like the Bears are going to capitalize on the Young penalty. Ryan St. Louis, who was in the right circle, finds a wide-open Brian Nicholas skating to the net. Nicholas takes St. Louis' pass and then is ready to backhand it into the net to tie it. But goalie Braden Gillespie moves from right to left, gets his glove out, and robs Nicholas. Nicholas went from raising his stick in celebration to banging it on the top of his helmet. I mean, how incredible of a save was that?
Yeah, it was a really athletic play. He was going one way, gets back the other, and then gets his glove on it, and yeah, pretty fancy.
How much did that spark the team?
I think it was huge for us. I mean, we needed a big save at that moment, and he's done that a lot for us this year. We've got great goaltending, and that was another example of it.
Well, it was worthy of an ESPN SportsCenter top 10 highlight. I watched SportsCenter when I got home. There were 3 college hockey highlights in the top 10, but none of them were Gillespie save, which kind of shocked me.
Yeah, it was every bit of any play that was made in college hockey. I guarantee you that.
Yeah, well, Union gets a power play with 7:57 left in the second, and it converts. Brandon Burr skates to the bottom of the right circle and centers the puck to Parker Lindauer in front of the net, and he taps it home to give the Garner Chargers a 2-0 lead. And that's how the period ended. And Union outshot Brown 19-11 in the period. That was a pretty good period, right?
Yeah, I thought for the most part, we controlled that period, especially having to, you know, do some killing. I think there was, some positives there for sure.
And in the third period, Union protects the lead. Empty net goals by Nate Hanley and Drew Sutton seal the 4-0 win. And that marked Union's first Friday ECAC hockey win of the season after losing the first five. I mean, how happy was everyone to snap that streak?
Honestly, I think everybody was just happy about the win. I know we have talked about the Friday night thing, but I don't think our guys, it was, not something that they spent a ton of time on, but, happy just to get the win.
So you're saying the media made me spend too much time on
it? No, I mean, like, we always talk about being process oriented and, focusing on each day. So like, I definitely think there are things that, there are things that are real and that was real. So, but at the same point, we're just trying to focus on that individual game.
Well, Braden Gillespie stops 25 shots, recorded his second shutout of the season. Another good game for the freshman.
Yeah, he's stacked some games for sure.
Well, we had some post-game interviews. Let's start with Union. We have Gillespie and forwards Troy Pelton and Parker Lindauer.
Guys, it was a night of first. We'll start with you, Troy, getting your first career goal. I know you scored against Colgate in the exhibition game, and obviously it doesn't count, but just talk about getting that first goal, especially, living nearby in Clifton Park. What does it mean to you?
Absolutely. It's a special one for me. Being a local guy, being able to do that for this program, it's unbelievable.
Talk about the play. Just a nice face-off win at the start.
Yep, it was just a great face-off play. It's pretty much exactly what we drew up. Sud snapped it back, and Buster got a shot on. I was there to bury the rebound.
And the other first, Parker, is the first Friday conference win. And how big is it to finally get one now?
Yeah, we met earlier in the week, and we were talking about how our mindset's changing and that we need to focus on Friday and take one game at a time and not focus about Saturday. And obviously, it paid off for us tonight, but it's in the back of our head now, and we're moving on to Yale tomorrow. So.
Brady, your thoughts on that before I answer the question?
Yeah, you asked us early in the week, and we all said that we wanted this one really bad. And, the team came out and played a hell of a game in front of me. So, I couldn't thank them enough, and let's go on to tomorrow.
Second period, the save of the day, the save of the year so far. What did you see on that? It looked like you were dead at that point.
To be completely honest, I think I blacked out in that moment. I knew I was over there, and everything went into a blur. But, it ended up in my glove, which was pretty cool. And then looking back and having my teammates beside me was a pretty cool feeling.
When you saw the puck in your glove, what was your first reaction?
Oh, wow. Thank you. It was a pretty cool play, for it to happen, especially at a home rink in front of your home fans. So it was a pretty cool experience.
What did you see on that?
From the bench, they made a great play, but Seps followed it the whole way through and made the huge save. It's unbelievable.
Parker, so good. What did you think of it?
I didn't see it.
did you not see it?
I was sitting down. I think I was too tired. So everybody's standing up in front of me. I didn't see it. But I heard about it. I'll go watch it later.
So, how big is this to get off to a good start this weekend? It stopped me for maybe a couple minutes in that third period, getting the guy a little sloppy. But for the most part, you guys pretty much handled the room.
Yeah, I've kind of said it earlier too in the week with you, but our league is just so good this year that every night, it could be anybody's game. It could be Brown's game. It could be our game. So getting that first one on Friday just gives us that much more confidence going into tomorrow night. And I haven't checked at the scores around the other games in the league, but
I think Yale was up 7-1 last I saw.
Yeah, and I can't wait to take it to him tomorrow. I'm really proud of our group up and down the lineup right now, and Peltz's line was unbelievable for us tonight. Our decor was awesome. Some guys are really stepping up right now. And honestly, we could throw in anybody who was in the stands or who played tonight, and I'd have the most confidence in the world with them on the ice. So I'm really excited right now.
Talk a little about your goal.
What's that?
Talk a little bit about your goal.
It's really easy to make good plays like that when you're playing with really good players. So obviously, Bruzy, Renza, our whole power play unit's been clicking, kind of. And our coach, too, JR, he draws up all these plays for us. And honestly, it's hard for teams to keep up with how many, trick plays and little plays that we have going on throughout the game. But that was just another one that JR drew up for us. And Bruzy made a great play and found my stick.
But also, the PK once again, perfect tonight. What's making that so special?
I think it's just, our willingness to buy in as a group. No one really cares who gets the credit for a block or clearing the puck. Like, we just want to get out of the box and get back to work. And we kind of look at the PK as kind of like a motivation and like a confidence booster for us. Like, we want to gain momentum from that. And obviously tonight, I think we did a great job at the PK.
And of course, will you be the goaltender, stop all those shots there on the penalty?
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't thank my PK enough. Like, we do a great job. We work on it every day, and the guys just do block everything for me, and they make my life so easy, just keeping the pucks to the outside. But honestly, it's a group effort, and I'm just helping them out.
How thrilling was it to put the net down again?
I mean, it's awesome. It's always fun when you get to do that, so just looking forward to the next time.
And Troy, just get it back to you. I know we talked before, after you committed to Union. Does it seem real that you're playing close to home?
It's getting there. I mean, it was an unbelievable feeling, and it still is, but just being able to play in front of hometown friends and family every night, it's unbelievable.
How comfortable are you getting? Because you're getting a lot more playing time now. You really have become a regular in the lineup.
Yeah. The first few were pretty tough, but, you know, it's getting there, and all it takes is the effort and just going out there and doing the right things every night. And as a team, yep.
Did you get the puck?
I did, yep. Thanks to Houch.
Now let's hear from our Brown head coach, Brendan Whitett.
Brendan, you guys gave Union some fits. I mean, chance to tie it up with Nicholas, that incredible save by Gillespie. What did you see there?
I mean, like it's hard, Ken. Like, when it, like, we've been in almost every game, but we cannot get over the hump. So, like, on the road against a really good team, you have to capitalize when you have chances. And we had chances. Their goalie played very well. He didn't give up a lot of second opportunities. We didn't score on a 5-on-3. Like, we got to be able to, in those situations, take advantage. And we just haven't this year. Like, our power play is really struggling. And when you're struggling, you think guys grip it a little bit. Instead of just simplicity, getting pucks to the net, we want to make every player's got to be tic-tac-toe backdoor. Well, that hasn't worked. It hasn't been executed. So we got to simplify what we're doing. It's on stretches we did, Ken, but, like, you know.
It seemed like a few times when they had shots, they passed up the opportunity for them to make that extra pass and everything.
Yeah.
Nothing happened.
I mean, I think we grip it. Like our issues tonight were, we got dominated in the faceoff circle. Union got a ton of offense in those first period and a half. They got a goal off a faceoff. Not only dominated, like, I mean, they were winning clean. Like, there was no neutralization. There was no, like, good for them. And that was an issue tonight. When we had chances, we just didn't execute, But the season's not over. I still think we have some pretty good hockey players, but we got to play as a team. We're only going to be as successful as if we have everybody play together, play with a little bit of positive juice. I think it's very easy to get frustrated and give a woe is me and go individualistic. And I'm not saying we do that, but we can't. That's not going to help us. It's not going to help us win games.
What impresses you about Union just watching them for the first time?
I mean, they got really good depth. I mean, they are able to roll lines at you. Defensively, I think they're really good jumping into offense, creating that second wave. They're good at the offensive blue line. They're hard to defend, they have, if I were to take a guess, I don't think they've probably lost a lot of guys in the transfer portal. In fact, they've probably added some pretty good players, right? Like, I mean, do you think Brown's a different team if we have Max Scott, Tyler Coff, Ryan Botterill, Lawton Zacher? Probably a different team, So it's hard in the structure of how the NCAA is set up to try and recreate not only a new team, but culturally what we want to do. It's constantly freshmen and sophomores. Like, so those are my old guys. Those are my leaders. Yeah, we can lean on Ryan St. Louis. And I thought we got a really good effort out of Shea. Really good effort. But I don't know. We'd probably be a little different, Ken.
You had an interesting conversation there in the media, the second period media time about the referee, Ryan Sweeney. I mean, it wasn't heated, but it seemed a little animated.
No, it was just part of the game. It was nothing major. I wasn't mad at him for a penalty call. I mean, it was just he came over, he just wanted to talk, you know, about more about, you know, just making sure our players are respectful, you know, like, so that's fine. I mean, it is what it is, part of the game, you know.
Of course, you know, you mentioned about, you know, playing in Mesa, coaching in Mesa. What do you think of this new facility?
I think it's awesome. I think it's awesome. It's great, great barn, good energy. It's loud in here. Probably the perfect size, you know, like in terms of a hockey crowd. It seemed pretty packed tonight. Like, you know, and it's a nice venue. Anything brand new, it's awesome. It's awesome. I mean, they got luxury suites. I got a giant cookie before, popcorn. Like, I don't know. They have a good setup. So, you know, and they needed something, right? Like, you know, and nothing against the prior rink. I mean, but it was getting old, right? Like, and in order to compete for the best prospects, like, rinks and facilities and the ability to train and get better and become a pro are extremely important to the top prospects. So, good for them, you know?
One thing about the transfer portal, I guess, against the NCAA Division I captain just announced the other day that they want it to be shorter this season. Is that?
I don't know if it really helps or hurt. I mean, it's so hard for us when we lose guys to bring guys in as an Ivy. Like, transfers, like, some of the Ivies can't even get them. We are lucky we can, but there's a lot of stipulations on, you know, what classes transfer in. Are they on track to graduate? You know, the financial piece, you know, like, on top of, so, like, that's great. I honestly wish, I don't know why we're waiting until after the NCAA championship. I don't, like, those four, so waiting for probably the same four teams almost every year, right? Like, I mean, the Blue Bloods are going to continue to be the Blue Bloods. Like, I just hope the days of a Union, of a Yale, of, you know, those teams being able to compete and win national championships, I hope they aren't over. Because the beauty of this sport is anybody can win. But not when teams can bring in pros halfway through the semester. You know, not when teams can pay guys a ridiculous amount of money. Not when teams can basically make trades, which BU just did. They sent a defenseman to Muskegon. Muskegon sent their best player. Like, that's not amateur sport anymore. It's not. So, I mean, we're trying. We try to do our best. I'm still a passionate man. I know I can coach, and I know I do the right things for our team. But the NCAA is a mess. It's an absolute mess right now.
Now let's talk about the Yale game. The Bulldogs were coming off an 8-3 rout over RPI from last Friday night, while Union's Friday ECAC hockey record hasn't been great. Its Saturday conference record has been good, going 4-0-1. With the winning Friday contest finally, the feeling had to be good going into the matchup with Yale.
Yeah, I think it was, you know, a chance to get a sweep, and, you know, we were excited about the opportunity to play Yale, and so that was an interesting game.
Yes. Well, with 4:48 left in the first period, Yale's Ilsai Pessinen hits Connor Smith from behind in the Union right wing corner. I'm sorry, the Yale right wing corner. Pessinen is given a 5-minute major and a game misconduct. Here's an opportunity for Union to score a few power play goals. The Garner Chargers do get one when Ben Muethersbaugh scored on a one-timer at 17:22. But that would be the only goal scored on the major. Union takes that 1-0 lead into the first intermission. Were there mixed emotions? Happy to have the lead, but missing out on more power play goals?
Yeah, I think that, you know, we had some opportunities and just, you know, we got the one, but I don't know that was our best period again. And, you know, for us, it was more about, you know, trying to figure out a way to be a little bit more connected.
Well, Yale, under interim head coach Joe Howe, has been playing some pretty good hockey. Watching them on Saturday, the Bulldogs were playing tenacious hockey, and it paid off just over 7 minutes into the second period when Will Richter, the brother of former Union player Thomas Richter and the son of former New York Rangers goalie Mike Richter, skated with the puck down the left wing. Union defenseman Nick Young fell down as he tried to defend Richter, and Richter then fired a shot past goalie Braden Gillespie to tie it at one. And that's how the period ends. Could you sense the game's momentum shifting in Yale's favor at that point?
Yeah, I thought they were doing a really nice job staying above us, you know, really frustrating us, and they used their speed well.
Well, another rush leads to the tie-breaking goal for Yale over 4.5 minutes into the third period. Etienne Lessard tries to keep the puck in the Yale zone at the right point, but it gets by him. James Shannon picks it up and skates down the left wing into the Union zone, and he fires a wrist shot past Gillespie. Did Lessard make the right play?
Well, you know, in that situation, if we lose the faceoff draw in our O-zone, our center's responsible to stay above their center. All three of our forwards chased the puck, so Lessard was expecting the centerman to be above that above Shannon, and he wasn't, so kind of left Etienne out to dry, and you know they ended up getting a chance and scoring.
Yeah. Yale controls the rest of the game. Shannon and Thomas Molson score empty net goals to close out a 4-1 win for the Bulldogs. I mean, how disappointed was everyone? Because, like I said, I think Yale just seemed to be a lot more tenacious out there, and you guys didn't seem to have an answer.
Yeah, they worked hard. They did a nice job. It was a disappointing game for us and, you know, left points on the table.
Yeah. Well, we have post-game interviews. Let's start with Yale interim head coach Joe Howe.
Joe, just what did you do to frustrate Union out there tonight?
Well, I did nothing. Our guys earned that okay. one, you know, and it's hard to beat this team anytime, but, you know, it's hard to sweep in this league, and especially you lose a forward early. You got a couple guys banged up already, but it was just we relied on everyone. We worked off the puck. They're a really good team. They're fast. They can score like crazy. But our guys bought into our identity, which has been really coming together the last five games, and just bought in, and even we faced a little adversity there early, they just stuck with it.
Even though you did give up the power play goal on that major, the fact you only gave up one, does that really maybe lift your spirits and give you some momentum?
Hey, listen, we're competitors. We don't want to give up any, right? They did a great job. You know, you give a team with that many talented offensive players, that power play unit, that many chances, right? They're going to connect on one usually. But, you know, we felt like we made a little bit of a mistake. But, you know, it didn't bother our PK either. We finished it off. We had a couple big PKs later after that. They did an outstanding job and allowed us to be in a position to win that game.
Yeah, both your goals with Gillespie in the net, both were rushes down the Richter comes down the left wing there, gets Young out of position, scores, and then the 2-on-1 where I think Lessard pinched and it cost him. Just to talk about those rushes and that led to those goals.
I mean, Union's a great rush team. Their D are so great offensively, whether it's the motion in the old zone or joining the rush, having four up in the rush. We knew that if we worked, we would earn a couple chances back the other way just because they're caught maybe in a bad spot or, you know, have to pinch or things like that. And both great finishes, both great speed by those guys.
It seems like this team's, just watching over the years, is it a more relaxed team? I mean, I know you're an interim head coach, but it seems like they're playing hard for you.
You know what? It's all from that room, right? It's an energy. It's a belief, right? It's guys coming together and playing hard for each other, right? And, you know, obviously I have a great staff with me as well that have helped, you know, mold these guys. But it's the work they're putting in on a daily basis. I think they've really bought into that day-by-day mentality and not getting, you know, ahead of that and stuck with it. Because we've had some rough times this year as well. But it's fun to see it start to come together and on to the next one.
How good is it to come away with the sweep of the Capital Region this weekend?
It's huge. It's huge, right? This is the moving time in college hockey, right? You want to position yourself to be in some good races heading into the playoffs and in a good position in the playoffs. And we have a lot of belief in our room right now, right? But at the same time, we got to work still. We've got a lot of big games left. But this is a really big weekend for our group.
Now let's hear from Union defenseman Nick Young and goalie Braden Gillespie.
Let's start with you, Nick. The pattern is win one, lose one. Comes that back again this weekend in just the opposite direction. I mean, how frustrating is it?
Yeah, I mean, that's not the outcome we wanted. And frankly, we didn't play our game today. And unfortunately, if we don't play our game, we're not going to win many games.
Braden, your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. Like, I wish I could make those extra saves for these guys. But, I mean, today it just bounces weren't going our way. And it was just an unlucky game for us.
Nick, did it seem like they were a little more tenacious than you guys and they were frustrating you with the way they were forechecking?
Yeah, they're playing really fast and really aggressive. And, you know, when we're at our best, that's what we're doing the other teams. And we're on them, we're physical. And, you know, we're a half step late the whole game and cost us.
Both of their goals came on rushes. And, you know, unfortunately for you, Nick, you got tangled up there. You know, lost your balance when Richter was coming down the left wing. What happened on that play?
Yeah, I was just trying to get my gap and tight turn and kind of force him to my partner, and I just blew a tire and couldn't recover.
What did you see on that play there?
Yeah, I mean, I wish I just had Youngers back there and make that save, but I mean, it just squeaked through, so that was just on me.
What about their second goal there? I mean, and another rush, and
just a good shot on their part?
Yeah, I mean, it was a great shot, but obviously I want to make that save next time. So it's just next time we work on that and make that save for the team.
Nick, I mean, you guys got a power play goal there in the first period of that major, but you know, was it disappointing not to get more than one? Maybe that gave them a little momentum there in the second period, heading into the second period?
Yeah, I mean, I thought our power play was getting a lot of opportunities, and sometimes, you know, it just didn't go in the net. I don't think it's frustrating. They did their job. They got a goal. I think it's more just like our 5-on-5 chances that we had that we didn't bury, and that just comes down to execution. We got to finish those chances, and we have before. We scored a lot of goals in previous games, and, you know, tonight just wasn't our night. We didn't bear down on our sticks.
Yeah, yeah, not much time to rest. Just the day off tomorrow to get ready for Harvard. So, I mean, how critical is this game Monday?
No, it's super important to us. And, you know, I think we're going to have this taste in our mouth and hopefully play our Union hockey way on Monday and show Harvard what we're really about.
Brady, your thoughts on getting ready for Monday?
I mean, every game is so big at this point in time, and I know the boys are going to bounce back. I know we're going to take tomorrow, and we're just going to keep this taste in our mouth and go Monday and show what we can do. Thank you.
Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about Monday's Union-Harvard game and look ahead to Saturday's Capital District Mayor's Cup game against RPI at MVP Arena. You're listening to the Parting Shots Podcast.
It's the most historic conference in college hockey. It's a battle night in and night out. ECAC hockey, an iconic conference home to 12 of the most prestigious universities and programs in the world, and showcasing the best student-athletes in the sport. Top-notch facilities and arenas, incomparable traditions, passionate fans, alumni who go on to become elite professionals, leaders, and champions. ECAC hockey, there's no experience like it.
If you really want to know what's going on in your community, you have to read the Daily Gazette. We don't take a side. We're right down the middle, and we're going to get to the truth. Our reporters and photographers are out in the field bringing you updates every minute with trust, accuracy, and integrity from the first page to the last page. Independent, probing journalism. We're finding out what's going on in the community where nobody else is covering. It's who we are. It's what we do.
Stay informed with the Daily Gazette's e-edition. Download our app, sign up to receive our newsletters, and enjoy exclusive reader rewards when you join our growing community today. Head over to www.dailygazette.com to check out our membership plans. And remember, when credibility matters, trust the Daily Gazette. Welcome back to the podcast. I'm Gazette Union hockey beat writer Ken Schott, and I'm joined by Union Men's head hockey coach Josh Halgee. Union's pro-style schedule concluded with a late Monday afternoon game at Harvard. The Crimson were coming off wins over St. Lawrence and Clarkson, so it was in the Crimson were in the same situation as Union. You decided to give Braden Gillespie his fourth straight start. Were you liking the way he was playing?
Yeah, I thought, you know, if you go back in the games, played really well against Princeton. Obviously has played well for us this weekend on against Brown getting the shutout, and then the two, you know, you look at the two goals against Yale. So he's really earned our confidence and feel good when he's in the net.
Well, Union gets off to a good start against Harvard. The Garnet Chargers had the first six shots on goal and seemed to be in control of the game, but a slashing penalty against Troy Pelton at 7:51. of the period seemed to change the momentum. Although the Crimson did not score on the power play, they had more jump after it, and it paid off later in the period when Joe Miller fired a shot from the right circle past Gillespie's left pad with 3:38 left in the period. Watching the replay, I thought maybe Braden may have been too deep in his net. What did you think?
Yeah, I know it got like tipped a little bit. Like our defenseman's stick hit their shooter stick as they were going. So I think that, you know, maybe made knuckle a little bit, but yeah, I think maybe he could have been out a little bit more. But overall, you know, it was tougher than just maybe how it appeared.
Yeah, because I mean, obviously, college cameras. Although the Harvard production team does a great job. Nobody has 10-18 cameras, and you see the shot live, and then you see the replay and a close up of Gillespie. You don't see the actual shot taking place. So it's one of those you think you see what you see, and then it's something different. So. Scores 1-0 after one. Union's trying to get the tying goal in the second period, but the Crimson tighten up defensively and hold the Garnet Chargers to 5 shots on goal in the period. Where the players getting frustrated?
Well, I thought it really started, for us in the first period. Like I thought the first 10 minutes, and you kind of noted the time of the penalty. I thought we came out well, and then as the period went on, they started to take over the game. I thought the second they did a really nice job of. Frustrating us not completing passes, just plays that we expect the guys to make, they just weren't making. And, you got to give credit to Harvard on that. And then, they just kind of kept leaning on us.
Well, Harvard makes it 2-0 when Chase Stefanik scores with 5:10 left in the second. And that's the score at the end of the period. And how do you get this team fired up for the third?
Yeah, we just, went in and talked about, trying to have a little bit more detail in our game, about focusing in on the little things. And, I actually thought we came out well, but then, they ended up getting the next one.
Yeah, they got the next two. And Ben McDonald and Matthew Morton scored to clinch the 4-0 victory. It's the first time the Union has been shut out since January 17th of last year, when Dartmouth got a 4-0 win at Messer Rink. Union scoreless streak is right now at 102 minutes, 38 seconds. Why do you think the offense has suddenly dried up here?
Well, I mean, it's funny because it's been something that we haven't really – struggle with all season. We have, good stick skill, and as much as you don't want it to happen, you'd rather it happen right now than later in the year. And I think our guys have to focus on getting to the high traffic areas and learning from this. We're playing a little bit perimeter right now, and when you do that, if goaltenders can see it, they're going to make the save, and that's what's happening. And I think it's a good learning curve for us, but we gotta correct it immediately.
I mean, is the road to a first round bye getting a little tougher now, a little more bumpy?
Oh, for sure. I mean, we've given some games up that you'd like to think that maybe you could have got, but at the end of the day, it doesn't matter if we're home or away. We got to be playing our best hockey down the stretch.
Well, you'll be at a neutral site on Saturday as Union takes a break from ECAC hockey play as it faces RPI in the 13th Capital District Mayor's Cup game at 6 p.m. Saturday at MVP Arena. Union has won 9 of the 12 Mayor's Cups, including 4 straight. I mean, how much fun and how stressful is this game?
It's a very enjoyable game. It's, something that we mark on our calendar and that we look forward to. As you kind of go down the stretch here, it's probably in all reality, one of the least important games, but it in the community, it's the most important game. So you got to try to balance, us continuing to take steps, but also just know how important this is for the school and for the alumni and for, everyone involved.
Well, given the struggles the team is going through at the moment, how important is it for Union to right itself against RPI?
Well, it's really important that we have a good effort and that we're, focused on our detail and that we're focused on, continuing trying to improve because, as you mentioned, it hasn't been the best stretch for us, and I was really pleased with practice today. So we got to stack a couple more days together and then get going on Saturday.
The team split the ECAC hockey meetings earlier this season. RPI won 5-2 at M&T Bank Center on October 31st, and Union bounced back with a 3-0 victory on November 1st at Houston Fieldhouse. Looking back at those games, what did you learn from them, and how can you apply it to Saturday's matchup?
Well, I think for us it's us being physical, us, staying above them and transitioning and going. I think they've made some improvements as a hockey team, so it'll be a really good test for us. But definitely, I think the Saturday night game was one of our better ones of the first half, and we need to match that effort.
Have you yet to determine who will start in goal Saturday?
No, we haven't really discussed that. It's an open competition for this week, and we'll make a decision on Friday.
Well, this will be RPI head coach's, coach Eric Lang's first Mayor's Cup. We'll hear more from Eric on Thursday's podcast. But you related a story at the press conference on Tuesday that your son and his son had an interesting thing happen in a youth hockey game recently. Tell us about it.
Yeah, so his son's a heck of a hockey player, and it was kind of funny before the game. Was talking about how, you know, his kid was on the other team and they're, you know, just a little bit on the rivalry and whatnot. But there ended up being a collision that was maybe where my son ran into his son, and the referee ended up ejecting my son for the game. And, you know, Coach Lang was really gracious about it, and it was kind of a funny thing. So, yeah, so I guess it was welcome to the rivalry, and it goes through the family as well.
A precursor of things to come then, huh?
Yeah.
So, as always, Josh, we like to take questions from our listeners. We have a lot of questions from him. Starting with Andrew Jarrett, 1980 grad, who had some questions last week, has a few more this week. Josh and his staff have done very well in recruiting and developing Tyler Dunbar, whom I estimate to be a similar character to the recently departed John Prokop. Dunbar's absence during the Quinnipiac game due to the quote-unquote knee-gate incident highlighted his importance to the team's continuity. Can Josh compare Prokop and Dunbar in the terms of both skills and personality?
Yeah, skill set is somewhat similar. You know, John could really work the blue line really well, and that's where he generated a lot of his offense, where Tyler likes to, you know, he can roll down and create from there. So you'll see him like driving pucks to the net and you know, going around the net and finding someone. So they're a little different on how they create offensively. Both have really good feet and can skate well. As far as personalities, like, John Prokop is one of the quietest individuals, super nice, great person, but really quiet. Tyler's much more outgoing, and you know, is a little more chatty in that sense. And but both great humans, and both really really enjoyed coaching both of them. It's a little joke in our staff that we got to make sure we give number 21 to a really good player, whoever gets it next.
How did Tyler come to transfer to Union from Colorado College?
So a little bit of funny that you asked that question. I just asked him yesterday, you know, why he chose us. As we're, you know, you go through the recruiting, you want to learn all the time how you can be better. And he felt just connected that to us as a staff and how we coach. And, you know, he wanted – He felt like we cared about him and that we would take care of him. You know, Mike Zanella coached him in Lincoln. You know, DJ Hart was a teammate of his, so he had some, you know, people that were familiar with the program. But then also, it did matter that John, you know, had just signed an NHL deal, and you know, he saw that it could happen.
Yeah, he was just asking, was Josh aware of him from Tyler's time with the Lincoln Stars? Does Josh have a special connection to that organization?
Yeah, I think, you know, for us, Coach Rocky Russo is an ally to our program. We value him a lot. He when he tells us a player is worth going after, we note that. And, you know, obviously Mike worked with him, and I've coached against Rocky for a long time.
He also has a human interest type question regarding former Union player Eli Pilosoff. Eli only set foot on the ice for Union one time during his 2 years at Union before transferring to Division III Tufts this year. He has scored 3 goals for Tufts so far this season. Eli made the all ECAC academic team while at Union. He seems like a good guy, well-liked by his teammates. Maybe Josh would enjoy talking about Eli's journey to Union, his time at Union, and his decision to transfer to Tufts.
Yeah, you know, he wanted, you know, more opportunity to play, and Eli came in and worked, you know, really hard during his time here. You know, one of the most liked guys by his teammates, you know, always fun to be around. And, you know, interesting, he's went there and been able to produce a little bit for them. And, you know, actually was at the game on Monday, and I know his teammates were really excited to see him.
Well, Ryan Fay is asking your thoughts, and also I want to ask your thoughts, too, of this. The newly announced men's hockey transfer window changes. And before you answer, let me read what was published last week. Men's hockey players who are thinking about entering the transfer portal after the season won't have much time this year like last year. The NCAA Division I cabinet announced last Wednesday that there will be a 15-day window for players to enter the portal. It'll start the Monday after the NCAA Tournament of Frozen Four Championship game, which is April 11th. The 2025 transfer portal was open 45 days, March 30th to May 13th. Also, according to the press release, when a head coaching change occurs, an additional 15-day period will open 5 days after the new coach is announced. If a new head coach is not announced within 30 days of the previous head coach's departure, and a 31st day after the head coach's departure is after the championship game, a 15-day window will open. What do you make of this situation?
Well, I like the fact that, you know, players that are, you know, in your program have to make a decision. But I do think there's going to be some situations where maybe it hurts the players. You know, you look at Carter Rose, Carter didn't decide to go into the portal until day 43. And, the reason he ended up making that decision was, his previous school decided to commit a couple more players. And, he was able to see that information and then make that decision, which really benefited us. So, as a coach of this team, I really like our group. I'm hoping that, the majority, if not everyone, stays, because that's what we'd like. But, I do understand why the 45-day window was a benefit to the players.
Does 15 days seem a little small compared? Maybe we have going 30?
Yeah, and the one thing I do think, is most of these players know if they're going to go in or not. And there's not accusing anyone of this, but there's tons of tampering that goes on in college hockey. And, we firsthand from teams trying to poach our guys in the past. So, you know that it happens. And, so I think it's just if you're going to go in, just go in and get it over with.
Well, wouldn't shock me. There's some tampering that, happened with, before you got here. Certain player won a championship at Quinnipiac.
Yeah. I mean, I wasn't here for that, but I'm sure.
Yeah. Not accusing. No, I am accusing anyway. Sue me. I don't care. At AliDar09 on X is asking you, when you are on the road, how do you prepare your team for a 4 p.m. start after playing the night before at 7?
So, yeah, everything has to happen real quick. And, for us, we don't spend as much time as on the recap as we would normally. So it's just on to the next right away. And that's the kind of mindset we want to have with the group is, no matter what happened the night before, we got to get ready for the next opponent. And so we'll have a pregame meal at 11:30. They have breakfast kind of on their own in the morning. And then before and after the pregame meal, we'll have power play and penalty kill meetings. And then we'll go right into 5-on-5. The guys will get a little bit of a nap and we're off to the rink.
Now, obviously, you have the 5 o'clock games at home. Is that philosophy the same?
Yeah, so it does give us a little bit more time. But the 4 o'clock games do happen pretty quick.
Yeah. At Union Bob on X is concerned about the alternating conference wins and losses. What do you have to say about that?
Well, I think when you look at us right now, inconsistency is something for us that we're trying to get out of our game. The positive note is that we've seen us be really good. And when we're good, it's a hard brand of hockey to play. We're asking guys to compete hard for 60 minutes, be physical, manage the puck. And there's been some inconsistencies in that. So we got to continue to take strides as a group and improve on that. I think it is frustrating at times, but there's been more good hockey than bad hockey.
Greg Simisek from Plymouth, Minnesota says he saw you in your early years of coaching the Dubuque Thunderbirds. How do things that you learned in coaching then play into how you coach today?
Oh, that's...
You know him?
Yeah. Well, that's a long time ago, so kind of funny to think about back then. But, early on, I was super – I've been really fortunate to coach really good people. And, those teams that I had, I didn't know much of any – I still don't know how much I know. But, they just – those players played so hard for me, and I owe just a ton of gratitude to all those players that were kind of dealing with my young mistakes as I was going through it. But in Dubuque, I learned, people really matter. And, if you take care of people, usually, good things will occur. And I was fortunate to be around a lot of good people throughout my young coaching.
Wrapping up the listeners' questions from Jim Calhoun. He's asking, any chance we will see the Corpy brothers and DJ Hart to shake up the lineup for the RPI game?
Yeah, DJ was in on Monday. The Corpy brothers are both pushing to play here and want to get in. So, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if you saw one, two, or three.
There's three Corby brothers? And a DJ Hardy. Yeah. Well, thanks for the questions. We appreciate it. If you have questions for Josh, you can email them to SCHOTT, that's S-C-H-O-T-T, at DailyGazette.com. Or you can post them on my Facebook page, my personal page, and the Parting Shots podcast page. You can also send them via Blue Sky, X, and Threads at SlapShots. The Daily Gazette's ECAC Hockey Faceoff selections are back for another season. I'll post my picks usually on Wednesdays, and then you can send your picks to me. I'll post those picks before the first game, which is usually on Fridays, and this week's got to be a little earlier, 4 o'clock game, Sacred Heart and Quinnipiac in the Connecticut Ice in New Haven this weekend. So that's a 4 o'clock start, so you got to get the picks in a little earlier. To play, send your picks to SCHOTT at DailyGazette.com. Well, Josh, good luck this weekend, and we'll talk after the game at MVP Arena.
Thank you very much.
That's Josh Algy. Coming up on Thursday's podcast, we'll preview the Capital District's Mayor's Cup games. The women's contest is at 3 o'clock. I'll speak with Kendall Davidson, who has a chance to make some history, the RPI forward and former Union player. We'll have a chance to become the first player to win the Cup for both teams. We'll talk to her about that. Also have interviews with Union head coach Tony Macy, RPI head coach Brian Vines, Union goalie Monia Wagner, and RPI forward Nina Kristoff. On the men's side, I'll speak with Union defenseman Nick Young and forward Brandon Burr, and RPI head coach Eric Lang and forward Brad McNeil. My friend John Warrow, who covers the Buffalo Bills for the Associated Press, will join me to discuss the Bills' firing of head coach Sean McDermott. I hope you tune in. The views expressed on the Parting Shots podcast are not necessarily those of the Gazette News Group. The Parting Shots podcast is a production of the Gazette News Group. I'm Daily Gazette Union Hockey beat writer Ken Schott. Thanks for listening, and I'll catch you next time. From the Parting Shots podcast studio in Schenectady, New York, good day, good hockey.